It's a new day. It's a new year. And isn't it, are you as amazed as me at, like, I got through another year. It was actually not that bad. It turned out okay. God is amazing. And I want to read to you this tonight from Isaiah 43. And perhaps we could have the door closed if the kids have gone out. Isaiah 43, verse 17. It says this. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. Turn to your neighbor and say, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. Wow. It's nothing compared to what I am going to do. And so it goes on, for I am about to do a brand new thing. See, I have already begun. And it continues. It's a new day for our church. It's a new day for our future. It's a new day for you personally. It's 2012. Whatever's past is forgotten about. It's a brand new day. And so today, we can expect a fresh touch from God in 2012. What is this scripture actually saying? It's saying, as good, as fantastic, as rescuing all of God's people from the Egyptians, there is still better things to come. Wow! And what we have tweaked in 2011, who's enjoyed getting a bit closer to God in 2011? Some of those things where we just tweaked our services a little bit just to allow some God, a bit more room in our services. Who's enjoyed seeing people healed in 2011? God is going to do more things in 2012 than he's done in 2011 because he's always doing brand new stuff. He's always wanting us to move from not stay where we are, but move on in God. And it goes on here. In verse 20, yes, I will make springs in the desert so that my chosen people may be refreshed. What you have been lacking in 2012 is coming to you. In 2011, sorry, is coming to you in 2012. But you have to see it. You've got to see what God has for us. And what does this verse go back a bit? Forget all that. Forget all the past. Forget all the stuff that was. Even some of the things that were really good. And he's not saying that we don't anchor ourselves in some of the good things that God has done, but we don't stay there, do we? We move on to what God has fresh for us. And as good as some of that stuff was, it's now old news. We're in a new year. And it's something that God has just got brand new things for us. And God does not want us to stay in past experiences and go over the same ground. He has a relationship with us that allows us to grow in faith every day. And so there is a need to experience God in a new way every day in our lives. And so as incredible as the Red Sea miracle was, it's gone. We have to rely on what faith we have in God for our future. And so God does not so much want his people looking back on what was. He wants us to look forward to what he has for us that is fresh, that is new, that is full of vitality. Who's looking forward to new growth in 2012? And so let's go back to our Christmas story a little bit. And Zechariah, he did not grasp his future in God. Here he is, he's a priest of God. He did his duties really well in the temple of God. And yet there was an opportunity that came his way and he completely missed it. He had been faithfully serving in the temple. And you know, we could all be serving faithfully. Is this crackling a little bit, Dave? No, it's good? Okay. It was an honored position, which required a certain way of preparing the altar of sacrifice. And Zechariah was doing that and ensuring that the area was holy before God. But this was the old way of doing things. It was the old covenant. It was the old way of Moses, of the law. And God was trying to communicate to Zechariah that it was a brand new day. The old had gone. The new was coming. And there is no doubt that Zechariah had been serving the Lord well in his capacity. There was no doubt he was doing his role perfectly. He was doing his best to honor God. But that day had ended and a new day had dawned. Jesus was coming. And so when we look at the prophecy of Isaiah, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. He goes on in 43:19 of Isaiah. I will make a pathway through the wilderness. God has new days and new seasons for his people. Who's looking forward to a new season? Who's had enough of the old season? It's time, and Eve, you know, sometimes we can have a really good season. But there's always something new with God. There's always something fresh in God. And he says here, I'm about to do a new thing. See, I have already begun. So let's turn our faith on this year. It's a new year. It's a new day. It's a new future for us. The old is gone. The new has come. But it's faith. Faith chooses to move into the new. Faith chooses not to stay where we are. Faith chooses, you know what? Oh, what have you got for me, Lord? It's in our relationship with God. That's what Zechariah missed out on. He didn't connect with what God had for his future. You know, Andrew and I and my family, we moved house recently. And Andrew has been saying to me for a couple of years, probably longer, will you please get rid of some of those old clothes? Any other husbands like that? But I like my old clothes. They're comfortable. You know, some of my old jumpers that I used to wear and like they got stains on and things, but they're comfy. I like wearing them. And so I decided to make this decision that when we moved from our rental where we were waiting for our house to be built, that I wasn't going to bring those things with us. It was quite difficult because I really did like some of those things. But I made the transition. And the old clothes that were really comfortable, if they were still in good condition, they went to Port Care. That's where the good clothes go. And all the other stuff, well, it just went in the rubbish. But I was really attached to one jumper that I had. And when I was in Margaret River, because I knew we were going to be shifting, and I think this is about September this last year, I decided, you know what, I'm going to buy a new one. I didn't really need it. I didn't think that I needed it, but I'm going to buy a new one. And so I bought it because, well, it was new. And now I wonder what all the fuss about was, because I really liked the new one. I liked the new one better than the old one. How funny is that? And sometimes I think we've just got to actually do something to get ourselves in fresh and do something new, change something in our life so that we change something particularly that will move us closer to God this year. The new is better than the old. You know, we're breathing fresh air every day. Well, most of us are, I think. And it's time for a fresh start. And the fresh start is taking a hold of your destiny in God through what you see. Through what you see, through your relationship with God, through your faith in God. What are you seeing for 2012? And Zechariah couldn't see what God was trying to show him. He missed out on 9 months of renewed hope, vision and purpose for his life. Something that could have been such a powerful thing, but God had to take just quieten him for the whole time that his wife was in pregnancy, because there was going to be negativity. And God was doing a new thing. And Isaiah 43:20, yes, I will make springs in the desert so that my chosen people can be refreshed. No matter your circumstances, God is into bringing refreshing into your world this year. But no matter how dry and how desperate some situations are, there will always be refreshing when we hang on to God. And so This is quite an incredible thing that God wants to do for his people. That he has the power to take everyday mundane life. He takes our problems. He takes our challenges. He takes our wilderness experiences. And he brings them into his light. You do not have to live the same way in 2012 as you did in 2011. Maybe or maybe not, you will face similar challenges this year. But God can give you a whole new perspective on your life. And that means you are going to have some refreshing. You can look forward to God refreshing you in 2012. What does that actually mean? It means that as you stay in touch with God, as you build your relationship with God in 2012, that as you continue to pray and read your word, as we continue to do the SOAP program in 2012, as we continue with our connect groups in 2012, as we continue to refresh one another, so God will refresh us. Sometimes it might seem like it's just the same old, but God is moving amongst that same old. Because you just don't know what God is going to do. And how you view your future has the potential to refresh you, or like Zechariah, dry you up. And so why dry up when you can be refreshed by God, hey? Let's be refreshed in 2012. Let's enjoy each other. Let's enjoy one another. Let's enjoy our marriages. Let's enjoy our friendships. Let's enjoy our young people. Let's enjoy everything that we have in our life. God has given us a best life. And it's up to us and our attitude, how we face this year. And I'm encouraging you this year. Come on. Let's be refreshed. Let's not worry about so many things. Let's stay in faith in God and let's see God do some of those things that seem impossible. See, the Bible says that there's a pathway through the challenges in your life. January 1, 2012, let's mark it as a significant day forward in moving into line with some of the things that God has for us this year. And part of, better not break Roy's glasses. Part of what Isaiah was prophesying is answered in Jesus. And this passage was not just about Israel and the Exodus. It really was about a brand new thing. And you will miss out on a brand new thing for your future. You will miss out on the refreshing. And you will miss out on the blessing. Does anyone not want to be blessed this year? And so we will have hope and we will have faith. But unless we hold on to Jesus, there's not going to be any blessing. There's not going to be any hope. There's not going to be any future. We need Jesus at the center of everything we do in 2012. And so come with me if you have your Bibles. In Luke 9:28, there's an amazing little passage of scripture about it, Jesus and his disciples. Luke 9:28. About 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothing became dazzling white. Then two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared and began talking with Jesus. They were glorious to see and they were speaking of how he was about to fulfill God's plan by dying in Jerusalem. The new is through our relationship with our Savior. And what was it that Jesus led his disciples to do with him? He led them to pray. He was leading his disciples to pray. If anything this year, church, we've got to stay praying. If anything in our life means is important, we must stay in relationship in our prayer with the living God. Prayer produces faith. Who's ever felt really down and then gone to prayer and thought, wow, I'm glad I did that? When we pray, we get a brand new look, a new brand new vision on things for our future. Now, are Moses and Elijah were both great leaders of their time. They were men of faith in God. They were not afraid to go up the mountain to pray. And the significance of this moment is that Jesus had such a relationship with his Father that he became totally transformed by God. But just as important as the three of them, what were the three of them talking about? They were talking about the future. Through their relationship with God, and when they're together, they were talking about what Jesus was preparing to do for all of mankind. And so when we get into relationship with God, we prepare ourselves for all of the things that God has for us to do to help others in this world, to help ourselves, to help everything about our lives, so that we become more empowered with his vision and not our own, and we become powerful servants of God. Who'd like that in 2012? And so Elijah and Moses weren't talking about the good old days. You know, when you get to about my age, Betty, I know you're laughing because you're nearly twice my age, but anyway. But the point is, the point. I've got friends who surf. We've got the surfing theme happening. Thanks, guys, for doing that. They're still stuck back in the 60s and 70s. They're stuck there like that. But, God's got fresh stuff for his people. There is fresh stuff that God wants for us every single day of our lives. And we don't want to just reminisce. We want to move forward in what God has for us. We want to move forward in the vision God has for our future and for eternity. It's not back in the past. See, Moses and Elijah, they could have really talked about some fantastic things, could they not? Moses and Elijah, my goodness. Wow. Moses could have started bragging. I mean, he could have said, I bet you couldn't get that water out of that rock, Elijah. You know, and all the things that they did. These two. And yet, what were they talking about? They were talking about the deliverance of all men. We have to see the way God sees. No longer the old way. And Peter, James, and John, the disciples who saw and witnessed this event, they missed the moment entirely. Jesus had been transformed because he had been in touch with heaven. They'd been sleeping. They'd missed the most important moment of their, almost their history, as it were. And God billowed at them, if you read on in the chapter, "This is my son, my chosen one, listen to him." And when you set your affection toward God, you can expect heaven to refresh you. You can see your future differently. And most likely, just like Jesus, you will be transformed. You know, affection towards God requires focus. Will you focus your attention on God in 2012? Desire for God to change habits, even sleep habits if necessary, so that you can spend time in God. And Jesus lives for the will of the Father to be done. And he wants to bring transformation on this earth. And he wants to bring transformation through his disciples. And your new is through your relationship with God. Will you think about some of the things that you want to get rid of in 2011 and move forward in the new stuff that God has for you and your future in 2012? In the beginning, God. In the beginning. In the beginning. In the beginning of 2012, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Allow me to link in one more verse. Jesus said to his disciples, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of earth." No, he didn't. He said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." I will give you the keys of the kingdom of? Come on, let's say it together. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus wants us to have the keys of the kingdom of heaven in 2012. He wants us to have all the keys that Jesus had. He wants us to have. And doesn't the Bible say even more? Wow. The heavenly world, the spiritual world, dominates the physical world. We have to move out of the physical world and into the heavenly world through our relationship with God so that we can get in touch and our eyes are focused and we don't miss out on the transformation that God has for his people. And therefore, if you want to change your natural world, come on, who'd like to change their natural world? Come on, let's change our natural world. How do we do that? Because we've got the eyes of heaven. We've got the eyes of God for our future. We have to get out of some of the things that we were doing in 2011. Have to get out of some of the relationships that perhaps that caused us and you know, some of the things that we did so that we can focus on the future that God has for us in 2012. And you have to tune in to the world of the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I'd like to see some miracles happen in 2012. And I know we've had a few miracles, but wouldn't it be great to have some more miracles in 2012? Wouldn't it be great to have some healings? Wouldn't it be great to have some just incredible things happen that only God could do? I know that there's some families here that you need a touch of God. Come on, it's 2012. Let's believe in faith for those things for our children, for those things, for those things that we know that we cannot solve on our own. Well, surely, if anything, we can group together and go, thank you, God, it's a better future with you than without you, so I'm trusting you no matter what, number one. And number two, I'm going to believe that, God, that because I'm trusting you, that there's going to be a powerful encounter and the things are not going to remain the same as they were. And so, Lord, I thank you for this year. Yana, why don't you just come as we finish our shorter service than normal in a little while. You have to tune in to the world of the Spirit. And when you do, God gives us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And Moses and Elijah were with Jesus because they had tuned themselves in. They'd gone up the mountain to pray. They had encountered God on numerous occasions, and that's why they were in the cloud with Jesus. And negativity will create nothing but pain and make things seem worse, yet God wants to create miracles. Will you change your language in 2012? Come on, guys. Let's start to change. When we start to think, and we've all got the habit, because we're human, we've all got the habit, have we not, of going to the negative first. Oh, what about that? What about that? What about that situation? I don't know. But you know what? We have a bigger God. Come on, 2012. Some of the visions, some of the dreams you have for your future. Come on, God. Thank you that 2012 is going to be fantastic. Some of those things that seem impossible, no, they aren't. And if nothing else, I'm believing in you because there's nothing better anyway. But let's initiate the positive. Let's initiate the positive in 2012. Look through the dry, the barren, the desolate situations and say, thank you, God, you can move through any situation. But forget all that, the Bible says. But forget all that. Turn to your neighbor and say, forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. Thank you, God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for 2012. I thank you that there is nothing greater than knowing you. I thank you, Lord, that I can have an incredible relationship with you this year. And I thank you that as I do, Lord, and that as my eyes are focused on you, that I will see heaven come to earth and that there will be transformation in my world, in my circumstances, and for my future. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never made a decision for Jesus. Why don't we just all keep our eyes closed for a moment? You don't have a relationship with God. Maybe you have in the past. But you know you're not walking with God. You don't have that relationship. You don't experience His hand guiding you in your life. Jesus was born into the world so that you and I could have a relationship with Him, and that heaven will come to earth. It is possible. It's not a lie. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you'd like to do that this evening, or maybe you're not sure if you're going to heaven tonight, you can be sure. If that's you, on the count of three in just a moment, pop up your hand and I'll see it, and you can pop it down again. I'd just love to pray with you after we finished our service. Don't allow this opportunity to go past. God loves you. He sent His Son to die on the cross, as this was prophesied even way before Jesus was even on the earth through Mary. Because we have an incredible God who sees all and knows all. God loves you. He wants to have relationship with you. He wants to have leadership in your life. If you'd like to receive Him, on the count of three, pop up your hand. I'll see it. I'll pray with you after we finish this meeting. One, two, three. Thank you. I see your hand. You pop it down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Young lady just saying, yeah, I want to renew my commitment to God this year. Anyone else? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Like I said, I'll pray with that young lady after we finish our service.